Hello and welcome to the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by Jason and Ingo Tantra. Here we're exploring spirituality and personal growth through the practice of Tantra, the body, energy and sex. Hello there, I'm Jason Tantra and welcome to episode 7 of the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by me and my beautiful husband, Ingo Tantra. Today we're doing listeners' questions. And the two questions that we're answering, the first one is about why is sex an important part of a spiritual practice? Why is sex an important part of a spiritual practice? And the second question we have from our listeners is about tantric massage and the role of coming or ejaculation in tantric massage. As you can imagine, Inga and I are not short of words as we explore those two topics. And be sure to listen to the end, where we are going to give you a practice to take away and look at in your day-to-day life. And we're going to be talking about the new Tantra for Gay Men Ashram, an active practicing community of Tantra. So if you like what you're listening to on the podcast, we are now ready to launch to you a way that you can get involved and establish your own tantric practice. Listen to the end of the podcast for details of that. I hope you enjoy it. Bye-bye. Hello there, beautiful husband.
Hello there, beautiful darling.
Here we are. Who would have believed it? We have made it all the way to episode 7, would you believe?
Which we are recording in a tropical garden next to our little private pool, actually.
We are. Where are we, Ingo?
We are in Bali.
Or Spali, as we like to call it. Because there's lots of spas here, which we're researching venues for future retreats, aren't we? That's the excuse.
Well, we have to, not really, actually, but let's say we have been living the tantric lifestyle, part of that is to spend the winter in sunny places where there is community and all kinds of things.
And we need to justify ourselves for a minute and tell you that we're working very hard Monday to Friday, 9 till 5, making everything happen, including this podcast episode, which really excited to talk about today. Do you know what we're doing today?
Yes, questions, right?
Listener questions. Let me tell you, because in the first 6 podcast episodes that we've done, we have been very rubbish, Ingo, we've been very rubbish at listening and answering listener questions. So today, episode 7, we're going to dedicate to to listeners' questions, and we've got a number of those, and we're not telling you how many we're going to do because it depends how much we've got time for. But these are questions that have come through the Tantra for Gay Men platform, and these are questions from our community. So if in listening to these listener questions you would like Ingo and I to dear listener, if you'd like Ingo and I to answer any questions, then look at the community app, community.tantraforgaymen.com, and you'll see a section in their podcast discussion, and in there you can find this post and ask your questions. So Ingo, I think let's jump straight in.
Yes, let's jump straight in.
And the first question, I'm just going to be reading this. The first question is from Alain. Okay, Alain.
Alain, probably.
Alain?
Probably from France.
Okay.
Or from Belgium or something.
Not Alain or Alain?
No, it's not Alain, it's Alain.
Okay, so Alain's question is, I would like to better understand the role of sex in a tantric spiritual practice. Let me just repeat that. I would like to better understand the role of sex in a tantric spiritual practice.
God.
Do you want to go first?
Where do we start?
Or do you want me to?
Well, I'm going to... Let me say a few things.
Okay.
But then I'm going to give to you.
Alrighty.
So... keep in mind that what we are doing in Tantra here is we are aspiring for the highest goal mm-hmm. of spirituality, which is awakening, self-realization, mm-hmm. whatever you might call it. Now, historically, there are, you know, as most of you will know, dear listeners, there are many different paths to that. And you could maybe say that there are many paths who engage the mind and thought processes.
Yep.
And there is maybe, you know, another type of paths that do this through your body.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of us know, for example, you know, physical yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And other than the way it's used today, you know, very often just as a fitness thing, in its original form, as you know, it's a physical way to engage with the body's energies to reach that self-realization.
What do you mean by self-realization? Because that sounds great, but what does it mean to everyday Joe on the street?
let us put that back for a moment, because we're gonna undulate into that question later. I just wanted to say, when it comes to spiritual paths, you can either try to go in there via your mind, certain techniques, or you can try to go in via your body. And Tantra actually radically says we do this using our body. This has a very specific background, which goes back, among others, to Osho's thought about a traditional, about a traditional tantric pathway that can be used by us who have been conditioned and grew up in the late 20th century, where our minds are over-engaged. We do everything with our minds. Where's our body, really? You know, as a vehicle to reach something spiritually. And he actually says, Osho actually says, to circumvent our analytic minds, we need to radically engage with our body to reach a meditative state. That's our only way out, because our minds are so overactive that for most people, just sitting down won't bring you anything else than, you know, sitting down and meditate. For most people, won't bring you anything else than looking at the tortures of your mind. So he said, let's flip this. And say we are going to go deeply into our body, and what is the most powerful energy that we have in our body, so that we can harness, and that is sexual energy.
Yes, but one of the things you're reminding me of, because I think we might be in danger of making an assumption of believing that everybody's coming to Tantra for the same reason.
Yes.
And I think actually there's various different reasons why people come to Tantra. Let me just name just a few of those. So some couples will come to Tantra because they've been maybe in relationship for a while and they think Tantra's going to give them some better sex techniques, maybe some better intimacy, some better connection, and yes, it can do that. I think also in our audience, men will come to Tantra. It may be they have a partner at home, it may be that they're single, maybe they have various partners at home, but they will come to Tantra for their own personal reason around wanting to have better sex, wanting to learn techniques, wanting to have better orgasms. And whilst those two things I'm talking about actually happen in Tantra, it's still not yet pointing to the spiritual reason. But actually, you could argue that both of those are spiritual actions, spiritual wants as well.
Well. I would say it's true that you can do Tantra for many, many different reasons.
Yes,
and that's the absolute beauty of it. You know, you could, for example, do Tantra from a purely, you know, for let's say psychological reasons, to enhance your intimacy, to work through psychological blocks, to improve your partnership, all of these things that are not necessarily spiritual, and it's absolutely legit to do Tantra only for that. It's just that I understood Alain's question in a way. What is the specific link to spirituality? Do you see what I mean?
Well, and I guess it what I'm trying to say is it depends on somebody's starting point. So people understand or interpret spirituality differently, and I think you and I have a unique way of understanding spirituality. That was where I was referencing my previous question, because I'm not sure that everybody listening may understand what self-realization means. That might be kind of confusing to some people, because different people, what we've seen over the years, different people come to Tantra for different reasons, thinking that it's wrapped up as spirituality. For example, you know, I make the joke of, you know, what makes something spiritual, an Enya CD and light a candle. But, and I think people's interpretations of what spirituality is a good lead into this question, because it's different for different people. How many people, Ingo, have we seen come to Tantra with a clear idea of their exact goal for a spiritual awakening? I haven't seen it. I've seen people interested, intrigued, curious.
Well, let me say a few things about awakening. So this is a really, really, really difficult topic because awakening.
Yes.
Let me just rattle off almost a few elements of the definition of awakening, which comes from traditional Tantra, you know, as taught by Christopher Wallace and so on. And when we talk about awakening, we talk about a very, very radical shift in the way of how you perceive the world, yourself, the relationship between that and everything else. And this radical shift has several elements, and they mainly, each of these elements is actually, you could see it as a shedding of a deeply seated mode of perception that we are usually, you know, conditioned into. And so just to rattle these off, basically, so one of these modes of perception is that we think that we are our socially conditioned self. And actually we are not. Another one of those is that this is a very, very difficult to understand one if you haven't, you know, to understand if you haven't experienced this, but we usually think that we are our concepts. We live in a conceptual world. We don't perceive reality as it is, but we are rather perceive it, our concepts, our projections, whatever. You know, a third one is that we usually perceive ourselves as beings, as entities that are separate from the rest of reality. Whilst from an ultimate view, there is no such separation. And it's all about, you know, and then there are more points that are more arcane. But what I want to, and I think, you know, I think each of these points probably deserves at least one more podcast episode or several. And I think as this podcast goes on into the future, we are going to go more into that because it's fascinating. But what I wanted to say is all of these points, these experiences are beyond the analytic mind. They are experiences that literally transcend the mode of experiencing that people are used to. So you can listen to these explanations. You could read them, you know, printed, and they might just be words for you. Or, dear listener, you might hear this when I say, you know, separation is just an illusion. There is no such thing as you and other. There's only one. When I say this, dear listener, does something click? Do you feel something? Oh, yes. This is what he is referring to, because I have experienced this.
Mm.
And now I come to this thing. Many people who are in spiritual practice, they're longing for something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one theory that says they're longing for what they have already experienced as mm-hmm. a glimpse, mm-hmm. in a dream, in mm-hmm. a meditation,
mm-hmm.
Somewhere. And actually, I think I said that in another podcast, many people get these glimpses in one of our retreats.
Mm-hmm.
So once you have had this glimpse of what is possible and felt how beyond this really is, then all of these texts, explanations through language about awakening, they then start to talk to you beyond the text. They start to ignite a flame in you. And then you've got your own deep motivation to practice because you know what's possible.
So how is this leading into answering the question? What you're saying here, like just how would you summarize that?
I'm saying this because you said, you know, people come to Tantra with different kinds of motivations.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, you know, some people come there, you know, some people come and say, okay, I just wanna improve my relationships, I wanna improve my sex, I wanna mm-hmm. improve my orgasm, and mm-hmm. so on, and that's absolutely legit.
Yes.
But why don't they just choose sex therapy or something like that? Why Tantra?
Mm.
And now the fascinating thing is that many people actually come to us who, with this motivation, I want to improve all of these things, but I also know that there is something more. I just know.
Well, and I also I want to talk about that bit for a moment.
Yes.
Because I feel that people can feel something that they can't put words to.
Yes, exactly.
And it's like the soul has some like awakening or some, actually the word I would use would be recognition. Mm-hmm. It has some recognition that in the practices that we offer people and in the experiences that they have, they could be classed as orgasmic, mm-hmm. ecstatic, mm-hmm. blissful. But actually, there's also another layer which I feel the soul recognizes as home, which is beyond any form of religion, beyond any form of mental construct, beyond any ideas. There's what I call this sense of knowing that part of you has arrived home, or actually more correctly for me, part of you recognizes something. You recognize the essence of something that's beyond words. And
exactly. So
if I'm wheeling that back into the question around, the question was about what is the role of sex in a tantric spiritual practice? For me, sex plays a part for various reasons. One, it's one of the most powerful ways mm-hmm. and quick ways to get you out of your mind, like you said, Ingo, before in your sharing, that there's a way, you know, sex and sexual energy. So if you think about when you're in sex with somebody, mm-hmm. maybe you're getting your bits stroked. I'm saying bits mm-hmm. so that all the social media engines don't block our posts on this. When you're getting your bits stroked and you're feeling these really intense body sensations, there's something for me about following and tracking those. So when you're feeling like you're in a orgasmic state or in a ecstatic state, how can you let go of the mind activity and follow into the sensation deeply and profoundly? And for me, what then goes into mm-hmm. a tantric spiritual practice is the experience in the sensations just as one aspect of this. So what I mean by that is, say you're crying out for God in a hugely ecstatic, orgasmic experience. It feels like the whole world, and you're just like completely gone in that experience, completely in every sensation. There's more truth in that experience than maybe in the whole of the day that you've had leading up to your point. As you said, Ingo, you know, we live in a world where we're permanently in our mind.
Yes.
Permanently analysing, permanently contrasting and comparing and analysing. And yet for that one moment when you're in that experience, you're beyond your day-to-day self. You're beyond your normal mode of operating. You're beyond you. You know, the you, yes. As you said, you used the word constructs around identity. You're beyond all of that. There's like a freedom. There's like a liberation in that.
This is really, really beautiful, the way you are saying this, because this points to two things. Mm. So the first one, you know, that you mentioned is the very, very simple fact that engaging with your sexual energy in a certain kind of way, which is mainly through extending your orgasm, moving the orgasmic energy through your body with certain techniques, all these things that we do in Tantra, this, at least, in the very first part of the tantric path, this is used to trigger what we call a glimpse. And a glimpse is this... For just a split second, it is for just a split second. For most people, you could call it Satori, you could call it Samadhi. Mm-hmm. It's this glimpse of a recognition of your true nature. You know, that you're not separate, that you're not concept, that you're not what you are socially conditioned. And that you're basically, you know, you're fused with the absolute, so to speak. It's beyond words. And once you have had that glimpse, then everything changes in your life. And then the question is, how do I engage with this different way of being, and how do I make this more permanent, and all of these kinds of questions. And what I found interesting, you know, the more I study wisdom traditions of this world, you just mentioned the word sensation. And this is just so important. You know, dear reader, have you ever done, for example, vipassana? You know, vipassana, a very, very simple, a technically simple system to reach realization through a certain kind of meditation, you know, mainly used in Theravada Buddhism. And if you have done vipassana, you will know that the actual thing you engage with when you're meditating in vipassana is sensation. It's all about radically engaging with sensation. If you take a minute and just sit back and feel into yourself, let yourself fall into the sensations in your body, you always realize how much of your waking day you are actually not connected to those sensations. You know, we tend to be in our mind and not present and all of that. So in Buddhism, in all the meditative traditions of the world, sensation is something to engage to. And what I love about Tantra is it radically engages with sensation, because some of the strongest sensations we can create in our body obviously are sexual sensations. And how can we really, really, really be in them and really engage with them? And that, you know, empirically, I've seen it many, many, many times, then at some point leads to this glimpse. And then people are, wow, this is what all of this is about.
Beautiful. So let's close on this question with just one final exploration around sex. Why sex? Why not sensation? You know, and for me, I think there's other reasons why sex. One, because it's controversial. Like, sex is a hugely controversial subject for people. It's hugely complicated. It's hugely amazing and rubbish and triggering, and you know, it's been used to control, to manipulate, to abuse, to be powerful. It's been used, and for me, I think Tantra is, and again, I might be not knowing enough, but for me, Tantra is probably one of the only practices that truly celebrates sex beyond the sharing of sex with another. So for me, you know, your relationship with sex, we talk about the three relationships in Tantra. I don't think we've talked about this yet.
No, so that would be another podcast, right?
Yes, but let me talk about it briefly here. The three relationships are, with your, in relationship to sex, is your relationship with sex with yourself, your body and what you feel. Then there's the relationship with the other or others that you're engaging with in sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the third one, which is your relationship with the divine, with the mystical, with the, you know, whatever it is you believe in that's out there, energy fields, realms, whatever language structures you want to. And these three relationships, sex has a relationship with each three of these different aspects as individual parts of a spiritual practice.
Super, super beautiful. And I've got some more comments on
Say
that.
Do it.
So, you know, the thing with sex is that it's, you know, it's the strongest energy that we have in our body, but at the same time, it's also the energy that is the strongest,
yes,
inscribed,
yes,
and suppressed,
yes,
by our, you know, by politics, by our upbringing, by our conditioning throughout our upbringing. Yep. I mean, I have yet to see the person who is sexually totally free.
Yes.
And most of us, we in sex, we play out all of these, all of the conditioning, all of our upbringing that we have brought up to.
Let me just add in one insertion. Social media hates sex.
Mm-hmm.
Look how much trouble we've had with social media trying to talk, mm-hmm, about sexuality in Tantra.
Yes, that's just one, you know, social media is just one aspect, mm-hmm, of this, these forces, mm, that condition us,
suppress,
to not really live a liberated sexual energy.
Yes, yes.
And here comes the point. So, okay, if in awakening,
uh-huh,
one thing you need to do, one objective,
yes,
is to shed the illusion that you are your social conditioning,
mm-hmm,
your persona, so, mm-hmm, to speak. If that is one aspect of awakening, then what better way to engage, you know, what better way to deconstruct that within yourself than, mm, through sex?
Mm.
Because for most people, including myself, the way we do sex and the question of can we do that differently,
mm-hmm,
goes right into the core, mm-hmm, of how I was socially conditioned during, mm-hmm, my childhood and, mm-hmm, during my awakening as a, mm-hmm, gay man and, mm-hmm, and all of these kinds of things. And that goes right to the core. Mm-hmm. It's really, really nitty gritty. And if I can undo that,
mm-hmm,
then it has this ripple effect, mm, because it makes me really call into question so many other things that, mm, I was conditioned to do. So I posit here that undoing the way you do sex, mm-hmm, and liberating your sex, mm-hmm, has actually very, very much to do of shedding the illusion that you are what you were socially conditioned to be.
That is
an aspect of awakening.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to say something else about sex, mm, whilst we're here.
Yeah.
You've completely triggered me, Ingo.
Good. I've got more to say.
I'm going to come back.
We're just going to do Alan today.
But the other thing I want to say is that sex is both a physical human thing as well as a spiritual thing. And I feel that sex is the bridge between your physicality, your human experience, and your spiritual, your soul experience. And this is the reason why sex plays an active part in Tantra, because it brings the human physical experience together with the soul spiritual experience. It's the place that they both meet. Let me just explain that a little bit. So we know that if we were to spend a year in silent meditation practice, we would hit a point where we start to get into experiences and realms of bliss, of expansion, of oneness with everything, of knowing who we are beyond our conditioned human self. We would experience ourselves beyond the identity of being a small person, a small self. We would experience ourselves within everything. Sexual energy is a physical thing. It's a physiological thing. It happens in this body. I am not my body, but I'm in a body. I am not my mind, but my mind is running and it computes things. My soul is residing and using the mind as the computer and using the body to be here on earth and to have this human experience. When I engage my sexual energy, that opens me to the same states of meditation, the same states of experiencing myself beyond, that is blissful, that is loving, that it is expansion. Exactly. And if I use like breath techniques and I use other physiological techniques, I can expand my energy, my experience of myself beyond my human day-to-day small mind self. And that, for me, is another key reason why sex is critical part of a tantric, or I wouldn't even say tantric, I would say of a spiritual practice
that is
called Tantra.
Yes. And this then completely links into the one third reason that I want to mention. So, which is why is partnered practice, partnered sexual practice, so important, because it has that element of fusion. So again, if one aspect of awakening is to realize that you are not separate from anything, so the way, one way to get to this realization is to deliberately play with experiences that almost blur the boundaries of what you experience as yourself and what you experience as other. And we have, you know, those of you who have done workshops, deeper workshops with us actually will know, there are a lot of partnered techniques where you visualize your sexual, you know, in sexual practice, you visualize your sexual energies as not going through two bodies, but going through one body. Being one.
Yes.
And you breathe as one.
Yes.
And you orgasm as one.
Yes.
And you arouse as one.
Yes.
And there can be these experiences in there that it's the boundaries of your body dissolve and you become like one with the partner. And this experience really directly does something with your system. It does its little contribution of deconstructing the illusion that any experience can just be, this is me, this is other. But actually, it's different. I can experience myself already as one with a partner in the sexual. So what does that mean? Can I then experience myself as one, not just with my partner, but could I experience myself as one with a group? Yes, there are techniques. Another podcast. Can I experience myself as one with all of existence, with all of the universe? And there we get into that, you know, that aspect of awakening, of no separation as an experience. And this is, you know, this... all these techniques, they lead into that, and that's why I love them so much.
Beautiful. Yeah. Wow, we've done real justice to this question, Ingo. The question was, I would like to better understand the role of sex in a tantric spiritual practice. I think we have absolutely answered that one. We've absolutely,
absolutely
answered that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Thank you, Alain. Is that how you pronounced it?
Alain.
Alain.
Thank you, Alain.
That's and my educated husband, Ingo, pronounced it correctly.
Thank you for the question, Alain. And I hope you're listening to this, and I actually hope to get to know you at some point.
So yeah. Listen, we're going to go for question two. Question two is from Tim, and he says that he's had several massages, but the tantric massage looks like it is just better for an overall experience. I do understand that having an orgasm is not the goal, so I'm very curious to know more. So let me just repeat that.
Oh, okay.
I've had several massages, but the tantric massage looks like it is just better for an overall experience. I do understand that having an orgasm is not the goal, so I'm very curious to know more.
So, well, these are two questions,
well,
right?
So yeah. For me, this opens up a... Can we do it in 15 minutes?
Oh,
massive topic.
Yeah.
So for me, in the tantra that you and I teach, Ingo, we have five different tantric massages.
Absolutely.
Each one with a different purpose and a different intention. Mm-hmm. And let me just rattle through those very, very quickly. And I also think this also opens up another question for me about the difference between conscious sexuality and tantra, because I think there's a difference between the two. And also the difference between a erotic massage. So nothing wrong with that. Going to be, have your body adored for 90 minutes with hot oil, beautiful gifted hands.
It's beautiful.
That work all over your body, incorporate your sexual energy, bring you to the most amazing orgasm and climax. What is not to love? That is an amazing erotic and massage experience. That is not the same intention as a tantric massage. And I think often the world blurs using tantra as a code word for sexual or erotic.
Yeah. When for erotic massage.
Whereas tantric massage does include erotic energy, but the intention is specifically different.
Mm-hmm.
So five tantric massages very quickly. So the first one that we teach is a Taoist energy massage. And the reason for doing that is so that the receiver can experience many different subtle energies in their body and can also integrate their erotic energy and begin to expand the way that they may experience their erotic energy beyond their cock.
Yeah.
That they may be able to experience erotic energy expanded through their whole body. And the real interesting part there is about subtlety, being able to really feel the subtle energies in your body. So that's massage number one. Massage number two is the multi-orgasmic massage, which is about starting to take you into orgasmic states and then learning to transmute that energy into from a sexual energy. So it's like building up the energy for, you know, 1, 2, 3 hours, maybe 1.5 hours.
It's incredibly beautiful.
And then using this clench and hold method, as written by, you know, Joseph Kramer, Body Electric, Mantak Chia, Multi-Orgasmic Man, transmuting that into a spiritual experience. And when we facilitated that, people have had all kinds of amazing experiences. That's massage number two.
Just scrape them off the ceiling afterwards.
Massage number three is about anal massage. And actually what we haven't even begun to talk about is the polarity between masculine energy and feminine energy. That's going to come up in a different
separate podcast.
Yes. Feminine energy is all about emotions, love, nurturing. It's about receptivity. It's about holding. It's about the container. And we believe in Tantra. All of that is held in your arse. And anal healing massage is a way to go through deep embodied emotional release through your body. And, you know, Ingo, when we facilitated that, that's been hugely powerful for people, hugely cathartic, hugely healing for people.
I just wanted to add, FYI, these are metaphors, masculine and feminine, for two types of energies that we all have. It has nothing to do with male and female.
Nothing to do with gender.
Nothing to do with gender.
It's like black and white,
but
on
it's
or off.
It's it's a specific type of energy that can be accessed when we massage the pelvic area, muscles that are accessed through your anal area plus prostate, and so on. Yes, it's quite an experience.
So that's massage number three. Massage number four is actually the harmonization of both the masculine erotic energy and the feminine arse energy, and learning to hold both of those energies inside you. That's massage number four. Massage number five is looking at the chakra system and being able to move erotic sexual energy to each chakra. Would you believe there is an orgasm inside every single chakra that is different to the others? That is a chakra, tantric chakra massage. So there are five different tantric massages with very different purposes, and not many people are going to know that. So for you, dear listeners, when people are talking about tantric massage and they're just on about like one, you could go, actually there's five. Jason and Ingo said there's five tantric massages. So I just wanted to lay out the landscape of those tantric massages.
And back to the question, I think this answers the question really, really well, because as you can see, is each of those massages is basically a training.
Yes.
Trains a certain, you know, a capability.
Yes.
For example, a capability to use your orgasm in a different way. Mm-hmm. So these are basically training grounds to have this. It's just like a meditation. Like in a meditation, you train your capability to be with certain, you know, states and all of that. Mm-hmm. So these massages, you do them many times, and they develop. They become deeper and deeper, and you basically train, for example, your capability of being with orgasmic energy without ejaculating and such.
So I want to, again, just add in a little bit more. So I think there's something about being very clear what your intention is for going to have a tantric massage slash erotic massage. I believe there is absolutely nothing wrong with finding a skilled body worker that knows how to take you into ecstatic, orgasmic states and to have the most beautiful ejaculation, the release, the tension, the, oh my God, feeling that lasts for hours afterwards as if you're buzzing. I totally celebrate that as a beautiful thing to have. And the difference, and because the reason I name that is because there's sometimes in tantra circles, there's what I call the anti-cum brigade or the anti-ejaculation brigade. And, you know, we know a fact of life for men, and I think it's different for women, I'm not wholly sure, but we know for men that if you come, you lose your energy. As you get older, you lose your energy for days, if not weeks. and that's just a fact of life. That's just how it works. What we're doing in Tantra is learning to harness that sexual energy. We're looking to expand that. We're looking for you to build the container, the feminine, would you believe, to actually hold more of your erotic energy and to learn how to, one, transmute that into spiritual experiences, two, be able to transmute that into your experience. So, you know, Ingo, you'll remember, you know, when we've been in orgasmic tantric orgasmic massage where we've not come, and you hold this orgasmic state for days, weeks afterwards.
And
the world looks more blissful, it looks more joyful, there's more colors in the world feels more vibrant. And so, you know, one of the pathways through this practice of Tantra is about making the choice to hold your sexual energy, i.e. not come, and learn how to hold that. And it's a bit like riding a bucking bronco through life, learning how to like ride that bucking bronco through that sexual energy and integrate that into your day to day, and not choosing the to release that all of the time, because there is an addiction. You know, most people think that sex begins and ends with ejaculation, And actually, what would it be like if sex, where if ejaculation wasn't a goal or an end point, mm-hmm. but was, you know, or maybe didn't even happen? It's like, you know, if you had a month of not, of having sex with no ejaculation, mm-hmm. what would that look like? And what you'll suddenly come up against, which you talked about in the beginning of the podcast, Ingo, mm-hmm. you'll start to talk about our conditioning. We've been conditioned that sex begins or sex ends with ejaculation. That's the end point. It's
we can
finished.
Be addicted to that.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. But that's all conditioning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I love in a Tantra retreat is because the invitation, very strong invitation, is to choose not to ejaculate for the whole week. People then start to have sexual experiences with each other that don't end in ejaculation. And the week's energies changes their world.
Yeah, beautifully explained. Mm. This really answers the question. So, the short would be, Tim asks, you know, I have heard that Tantra is not about orgasm.
Yeah.
So it's not about orgasm in the conventional sense with, having ejaculation and having an orgasm that is maybe how long is the average orgasm? You know, 20 seconds, 40 seconds, whatever it is. It's really not about that, not about that conventional orgasm. Mm. But then beyond that, Tantra is totally about orgasm, because it's about a different version of orgasm that can, you know, that is the doorway into so many things.
Beautiful.
The doorway into states that, you know, that you never know existed. For me, actually, it has been.
So I think this starts to lean into the gift that we would give our listeners this week and go.
Yeah.
And for me, it's more of a exploration around what would your sex look like if you made the choice not to come. And I would invite you to experiment with even choosing not to come maybe two or three times, you know, over the course of 1, 2, 3 weeks, and look to see how it changes the day after. It's like, imagine you've had sex with somebody, you had amazing sex, and you're like, actually, before we go into this, I'm going to make a choice not to come, and I'm going to hold that energy. And then you go into the next day, notice how the world looks. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to hear some of your feedback. Please jump into the community platform and share with us under the podcast discussion section your feedback on that, because I would be really, really fascinated to hear about that.
So again, we are saying choose not to come, but choose sex and choose stimulation.
Yes.
So it's not about having no sex. It's about having lots of stimulation.
Yes.
Whether that's with yourself or with a partner.
Or partners.
Just choosing not to come.
Yes.
And then especially in the 24 hours afterwards, to be really mindful about what does it feel like to be in your body? Where's your energy? And you might be really, really surprised you know, when you listen to that.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Other thing we're going to talk about before we finish today's podcast. So, Ingo, what's happening on July the 1st?
On July the 1st, our big new project called
The Ashram.
Called The Ashram.
What's an ashram, Ingo?
So, an ashram. an ashram is a place where people come together in a loving community to practice together with the goal of spiritual advancement, self-realization, awakening, personal development. And that's what we are creating.
So we talk about our platform, community.tantraforgaymen.com. On the 1st of July, that is going to be transmuting itself into an ashram. And in this ashram, we are going to have a program. And the ashram is chopped up into semesters or terms. So what I know already is, like, for the first 2-3 months, we are going to be exploring the topic of orgasm in detail. And There are going to be weekly video lectures and practices for you to do at home.
There are also going to be practice groups to do these practices online together.
With our ashram facilitators, people, men that have studied with us in our teacher and coach training and completed our diploma in Tantra. And also, you're going to get me and Ingo live. We are going to be reviewing those practices with you every 6 to 8 weeks. And as an additional time, we're also going to look to help you integrate those experiences that you're having into a spiritual practice through our spiritual inquiry sessions, or for the Americans listening, spiritual inquiry sessions. So the ashram is going to be $42 a month, and we are going to guide you through integrating a tantric practice into your day-to-day life through the Tantra Ashram starting on July the 1st. And we'd love to welcome you in there.
Yeah, and the beautiful thing is, you know, you can do this from everywhere, no matter where you live. This is the feeling will be very, very much doing this in a community, in a group that goes through these processes together. It's, it's like... Like studying together, like going through school with with a group of really loving people. So you will you will make deep friendships.
You
and,
will.
And it's very, very practical. Many life sessions, these kinds of things. And the third thing is that you will, you know, you will get time with Jason and me. Like we will personally guide each of you.
An active, practicing, engaged community of men practicing Tantra together all over the world.
That's what an ashram is. The Tantra for Gay Men ashram.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Ingo. This brings us to the end of our podcast today, Ingo. We managed more questions than I thought. We actually managed to answer two listener questions, and we will come back in a future episode with more listener questions. And I can't even remember off the top of the head what the topic is for the next podcast.
I can't either.
So we're not going to commit to that. But episode 8 will be out in 2 weeks' time. Okay, Ingo, thank you so much for everything you've shared today.
Thank you, dear listeners. Thank you for being with us.
We love you.
Thank you for... Yeah, it's just really, really lovely.
We love
to be with all of you. And
we will see you next time. If you'd like to take part in the discussion, you can on our platform, community.tantraforgaymen.com. That's community.tantraforgaymen.com. And have a click on the podcast on the left-hand menu. There you can see all episodes of the Tantra for Gay Men podcast that we've released, and also a discussion board where you can share what you've listened and ask questions and share your experiences. We'll see you again in episode 8, and we look forward to seeing you then. Take care now. Bye-bye. Yeah.